The following is a Sunday morning reading and sermon from Providence Presbyterian Church, located at 3510 Austin Parkway in Sugar Land, Texas.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, and your faithfulness, you have called us into your presence again this morning. And we have come through the faith that you have given us in Jesus Christ, brought here by your gracious Spirit, to bow before you, to worship you as our God and as our Father. And we come to hear your voice. Grant unto us this day, by the gracious work of your Spirit, rest from all other cares and concerns. Grant unto us that our ears might be opened to hear your word, the voice of our God, and that what you have for us might be written upon our hearts, take root, grow, and bear fruit in us who are your children. For this we ask in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the word of our Lord from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 4. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and rejected, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Lord from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one. But go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. This is the gospel of our Lord. Who is Jesus? You know the answer to that question, right? We know and confess Jesus to be the Christ. But it's a good question for the first Sunday in Lent, don't you think? Matthew has constructed his gospel to answer this question. He has shown us that Jesus is the true Israel. Matthew has pointed out that like Israel, Jesus was exiled in Egypt so that it might be fulfilled, out of Egypt I have called my son. Like Israel, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. They for 40 years, Jesus for 40 days. But where Israel succumbed to temptation, Jesus did not. We have seen Jesus anointed at the Jordan. We're like Joshua. He enters the promised land with his disciples, the new family, the new people of God. So what God called Israel to be and to do, Jesus is and Jesus does. Israel was called to be a holy nation, but you've read the Old Testament. Most of the time they were anything but, right? Israel was called to be the light of God to the world. But again, they compromised with the world over and over again. Israel was called to draw the world back to God. And she failed in her task. And so God the Father has sent his Son to be the light and life of the world, to draw the world to the Father. And by the way, what Israel was called to be, Jesus is, and you have been called to be too. The church is to be light to the world. The church is to be the priest of the world. The church is to be that community which calls the world in faith to God. But there is more. Matthew is so rich that I would like to take about two verses at a time and work my way through, but I don't have that many years left, right? Matthew is also showing us that Jesus is the true and greater Moses. As Moses ascended Mount Sinai to receive the law from God for his people, so Jesus ascended the mountain and taught the law of the kingdom to God's people. Matthew is so structured that we have a discourse of Jesus, his teaching, like we just finished in Matthew's 5 through 7. Then we have a couple of chapters, 8 and 9, of his actions. And then we'll have a discourse again, chapter 10. And then we'll have a couple chapters of actions, 11 and 12. And then we'll have another discourse in chapter 13. So he's going from one to the other. Jesus speaks, Jesus acts. Jesus speaks, Jesus acts. Today's lesson begins a brief history of some of Jesus' actions. He comes down from the mountain. In chapters 8 and 9, he performs a series of miracles. In these two chapters, 10 miracles are identified by Matthew. Theologians have long noted that Moses performed a series of 10 miracles too. Do you remember them? Of course you do. They were the plagues of Egypt, right? But what Moses did in destroying the enemy of God, Jesus, the Son of God, comes to reverse and to bring people to faith in him. Moses comes to Egypt and lets go the curse of God. Jesus comes and reverses the curse and shows us that he alone has the power to reverse the curse and remove the judgment of God from among his people. And the last two verses of our text, Matthew writes that Jesus' healings were a fulfillment of the prophecy that he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now we usually, and rightly so, read this passage from Isaiah at Good Friday, and we will again this Good Friday. And we've already started reading the passage on our Lenten evening meditations on Thursday evening, and it applies to that passage undoubtedly. But Matthew is writing this by the inspiration of the Spirit, and the inspiration of the Spirit is that Jesus is already at this time fulfilling this passage. Is it that what it says? This was done so that that might be fulfilled. Jesus is taking the illnesses of his people, and he is bearing them away. These miracles of healing are signs. And remember, you know this, miracle means sign. These miracles of healing are signs pointing out the identity of Jesus and his work. Who is Jesus? Well, Matthew has shown us he's a new and greater Israel. Matthew has shown us that he's a new and greater Moses. But there's more going on here. And Matthew brings to our attention in today's lesson three signs. that tell us quite a bit about Jesus. The first sign is performed by a leper. A leper. The biblical word for leprosy covers a wide variety of disfiguring skin diseases. But common to all forms of leprosy, when someone had it at this point in redemptive history, they had to keep to themselves. They were forced to live a communal style of life, a distance from others. When they left their leper colony, they were required to walk at a distance from anyone else. And sometimes, Josephus tells us, they even rang bells or had bells on their clothing so others knew they were coming so that they could stay away from them. The leper is an outsider within Israel. No reason to suspect that this leper wasn't Jewish. He was. But he's excluded from the covenant community. The fact that Jesus even allows a leper to approach him would have been shocking to his disciples. But this is not all. The reason for this isolation is biblical law. According to the ceremonial law, they were isolated because they were unclean. And because they were unclean, they were kept from the temple, from the communal worship of the covenant community. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having something that the Bible would exclude you from our presence this day? And say, no, you can't come into the church at its gatherings to worship the Lord with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That you can never partake of the Eucharist and the church service with the people. Because you wear in your appearance, you wear a sign of sin and the fall. They were excluded because they were unclean. And uncleanness could be spread simply by touching. The man who touched a leper was unclean. And he had to go to the priest and he had to perform all these things. And he had to, it was rigorous. If he touched a dead body, he was unclean. Why? Why? Because the leprosy was a sign or symbol of the disrupting and disfiguring character of sin. But this leper has heard of Jesus. Jesus has been on the mountain teaching the Sermon on the Mount. Already his fame is spreading. Remember, he's in the north in Galilee. Zebulun and Naphtali, we read in chapter 4. He's up in the northern ends of the country ministering. But Jesus comes down. Already there are people there. And the leper comes to him. And he bows before Jesus. Matthew says he worships him. Jesus comes and this leper hits the ground. His face and his hands, he bows down before Jesus and he says to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice what the leper asked of Jesus, not to be made well, but to be made clean, to be restored to the temple, to be restored to the covenant community. And Jesus did what nobody would have done. He touches the leper. And the leper is clean when Jesus touches him and says, I will, be thou cleansed. Think of this. No one but a leper had probably intentionally touched this man for years. And yet Jesus touched him. And Jesus wasn't contaminated. Jesus spoke, be cleansed, and the leper was made whole. Jesus took his illness and bore it away, took it away from him. Who is Jesus? What is this telling us? Who is Jesus? He's the promised one. Matthew tells us, this is he whom Isaiah wrote of. This is what Isaiah wrote he would be doing. And indeed, he is. And there's more, of course, that he would be doing, isn't there? The second sign occurs in Capernaum. Down on the sea. There, a Roman centurion approaches Jesus in behalf of his young servant. An accident has paralyzed the boy. The Greek word mentions that he's a lad. It's paralyzed him. And now the centurion is a Gentile, and worse, he's a member of the occupying army. So the centurion is a Gentile of the army that's keeping down Israel. He's almost as untouchable as the leper. And yet he comes to Jesus. He's an outsider, excluded from the covenant, excluded from the temple, excluded from the community. He's considered unclean too. But he comes to Jesus, requesting help for his paralyzed servant. Jesus says, okay, I'll go to your house. You want me to heal your servant? I'll go to your house. And the man stops him and says, no, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. But I understand authority. Speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed. That's a rather amazing confession, isn't it? On the one hand, the man says, I'm not worthy to have you into my house. He knows something about Jesus, and he knows something about himself. And then he says, I understand authority. He was a centurion. He had 100 soldiers under him, right? He says, I understand authority. I say something, and things go this way and that way. You can speak, and by your word, my servant will be healed. It's amazing. Amazing confession coming from a Roman citizen. And so Jesus speaks. He speaks, and the word is effective, and the young man is healed, just as he speaks, and the leper is healed. The way Jesus heals in this passage is instructive. Jesus speaks. No mumbo jumbo. Right? No song and dance. Jesus merely quietly says the word. And what he says occurs. It comes into effect. What's going on here? If you know the Bible and you're standing there and you're listening, you're thinking, where else has somebody spoken and something miraculous has occurred? You know the answer? Of course you do. Genesis. God speaks and things come into existence. The worlds were created by the very word of God. And Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews, that that word was Jesus. So we have this old creation that's fallen because of sin and needs to be restored. And Jesus comes and speaks, and it's being restored. New creation, new life is being affected by the very word of Jesus. Do you think people are beginning to see who Jesus is? Do you see who Jesus is? What Matthew is trying to tell us about this one whom we love and serve and worship, he's the Lord of creation. He's the Holy One of old. He is the promised one. He is God and our flesh and our nature. Amazingly, Jesus says this is the strongest faith he's yet encountered in Israel. The strongest faith he's seen in Israel from a Gentile. The strongest faith he's seen as Israel is found in an outsider. And Jesus says this points towards the future. And here the people who are listening need to perk up their ears. Jesus says, the kingdom is coming, and I'm bringing it in. But those who think they're going to sit in the kingdom of God won't, and those whom you think are excluded from the kingdom of God are going to be in. Well, what's he just done? He's healed a leper who they think is excluded. He's healed and acted for a Gentile whom they think is excluded. And he says, these people are going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and all of the rest and feast in the kingdom of God. But some will be excluded. Israel as a nation will be cast out because she failed to believe in Jesus. Jesus effects a great inversion. Those who thought they were in and are out, and those who thought they were out are brought back in. This is the meaning of verses 10 through 12. I was thinking about this passage this past week. As a nation will be cast out because she failed to believe in Jesus.
For more information, please feel free to contact us at www.providencepresbyterian.org or at 281-980-2522.